الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدًا عبده ورسوله قال الله تعالى ولا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل وتدلوا بها إلى الحكام لتأكلوا فريقا من أموال الناس بالإثم وأنتم تعلمون صدق الله العظيم. Most respected ulama, elders, brothers, and mothers and sisters that may be listening from home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. One of the salient points that our Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi would continue to emphasize in his bayans, in his talks, in his lectures, was upholding the rights of others and being very careful about usurping other people's wealth, usurping other people's rights, taking that which was not due to us, and as part of the process of tawbah, of fulfilling the rights of those whom we may have transgressed, financially or otherwise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ, that do not consume your wealth unlawfully. Meaning do not eat up, do not shortchange others in their wealth unlawfully. Now these ayat have been brought after the conversation and the discussion and the ahkam of fasting, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about fasting being prescribed for us to attain taqwa and the different injunctions related to fasting. So the interconnectedness between these two subjects, which is earning and eating halal and fasting, is that fasting teaches us to stay away from that which is lawful. When we fast, we stay away from food, from drink, and from permissible desires, from sunrise to sunset. That is halal, that is permissible. But because it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we stay away from it. So it is a spiritual training ground for us, that out of the month of Ramadan, we should be able to stay away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us from. And that is unlawful earning. That is usurping the rights of others. That is taking that which is not due to us. So the first link is that just as we train ourselves in the month of Ramadan to stay away from that which is lawful, so too should we develop that ability to stay away from that which is unlawful. And secondly, when we break our fast, it is very important that we ensure that we consume halal. Breaking our fast and eating that and consuming that which is not halal nullifies the effects, the blessedness, the acceptance of our fast. So these are two points that connect this particular verse to the verse on fasting. And as we have heard throughout the month and in preparation for this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kutiba alaykumus siyam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fasting has been prescribed upon you, la'allakum tattaqoon, so that you may adopt taqwa, so that you may adopt God consciousness, so that you may be aware of what you can and cannot do. And earning and spending and eating halal is a very important part of adopting taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in different verses of the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. O mankind, eat from that which is halal and that which is pure. يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. O messengers, addressing the Anbiya, but also as a message, as we learn from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, addressing the believers as well, eat that which is pure. And what is the effect of eating that which is pure? وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. You will get the tawfiq to do good deeds. Now when we look at the Islamic economic system, we find that from amongst the virtues of the Islamic economic system is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created certain items of common utility. Water, air, heat, oxygen. All of this is common utility. Everybody requires it to survive. And therefore, nobody can claim ownership of these items. Nobody can say that I own the air in the sky and you'll have to pay me to breathe in that air. As our Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ali used to mention, that imagine at the end of every day if we had to get a bill for the oxygen that we breathed in throughout the entire day. Ask that person who goes into hospital and requires concentrated oxygen. And when they come out, they get the bill. This is the bill for all the medical procedures, the oxygen, etc. that we provided to you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system is that items of common utility, there's no ownership of those. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain other items, which if they are shared amongst more than one person, it would disturb the harmony. It would create violence. It would create unnecessary harm in the community. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recognized that these items, there will be private ownership of these items. And nobody can just lay claim to a particular item. For example, someone has their home, they've purchased their home. That is in their shar'i ownership. Nobody can wake up tomorrow and say that that is my home. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a system for the transfer of that ownership. If that ownership is going from person A to person B, there are certain valid ways that it can go and ownership will transfer. But there are certain invalid ways. And this is what this particular ayah is talking about. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. That do not consume one another's wealth in such a way that it is done unlawfully. Now the background to the revelation of this verse is that there were two sahaba ikram that came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there was a land dispute. And it came to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you had the plaintiff, the person who was bringing the case forward, and you had the defendant, the person who was defending the case. And the plaintiff was asked to bring proof for his claim, as is the requirement in the Sharia, Islamic jurisprudence. But he did not have any proof that he could bring. So as is custom in the Islamic court of law, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked the defendant to take an oath that this person is claiming that this land belongs to him. You now, as the defendant, need to take an oath that this land belongs to you. And just before this sahabi was about to take the oath, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam advises him, and he counsels him, and he cautions him, and he recites a verse of the Quran Majeed, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَشْتَرُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَيْمَانِهِمْ ثَمَلًا قَلِيلًا. Verily those who have sold their pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their oaths for a cheap price, meaning they take false oaths for a few rands and cents, for a few dollars that they wish to earn in this dunya, they take false oaths. أُولَٰئِكَ لَا خَلَاقَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. These are people who will have no share in the akhirah. وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not speak to them. وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ. يوم القيامة. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at them with the nazar of rahmah on the day of qiyamah. وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not purify them. Now this ayat was recited in front of this sahabi, and immediately he realized that he was about to take a false oath, and he withdrew from the case, and the case was then ruled in favor of the plaintiff. Now look at this. When ayat are presented before sahaba ikram, everybody makes a mistake. Everybody has desires in their heart to do the wrong thing. But when an ayah is placed before a sahabi, immediately he considers and he retracts. You and I, day and night, we are being told of what we can and what we cannot do, what transactions we can engage in, what transactions we cannot engage in. Yet, year after year, week after week, we hear these ayat, and they fall on deaf ears. So this month of Ramadan is an opportunity for us to reflect. Are we earning our wealth according to the Sharia? There's another point in this ayah, a beautiful point, which the Mufassirin have brought forward. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ. Do not eat your wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say that one person should not eat the wealth of another person. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do not eat your wealth. What do we take from this? That when we unlawfully consume the wealth of others through fraud, through cheating, through transgression, to shortchanging one another, we open the doors for others to do the same to us. And this action of corruption, this action of a lack of integrity, of trustworthiness, it perpetuates itself in the community. Ulama give an example. A person is selling butter, and he adulterates the butter with a cheaper quality of oil or fat. He spoils it. He wants to sell it as a superior quality, but he uses inferior quality ingredients. Now, how often we find that in our own communities? We manufacture something, we produce something, but we are using inferior quality materials compared to what we have advertised on that product. So this person does that. When he does that, he doesn't realize that when he's buying the milk for his butter, the milk seller is adulterating the milk by putting water in there. And the person that he's buying his spices from is adulterating the spices by reducing the quality of the spices. And like this, the cycle continues. So when we open the doors of corruption, we may think that we are earning a few extra rands and cents by shortchanging our customer or shortchanging the person on the other side of the transaction. But what we fail to realize is that we are opening this door of corruption, and those few rands and cents that we make on this side, we will find much more going out as a result of the corrupt activities of others. And respected friends and elders, we don't need to look far. In our own country, in our own community, we find that corruption is so rife, that it's almost impossible for people to get certain basic goods and services without being involved in corruption. Now we find that when a person is particular about eating halal, consuming halal. And remember here, eating is not referring only to the physical eating and making sure that the chickens have been slaughtered in the right way, etc. But our earning is also being referred to in this ayah. In fact, more important is the source of our earning. But eating halal draws good barakah and blessings. Ya ayyuha ar-rusul, kulu min at-tayyibat wa'malu salihah. Nabi alayhi salam mentions in a hadith, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure, and He does not accept anything except that it is pure. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites this verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. That, O messengers, eat that which is pure and do good deeds. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that this applies to the believers as well. When we earn halal, when we earn that which is tayyib and that which is pure, then we get the tawfiq to do good deeds and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accordingly. But when our earnings are tainted, then we'll find that our actions are also against the Sharia. That is why ulama say that when a person is perpetually involved in a sin, one of the things that he needs to check is he needs to check the source of his earnings. Is there anything impermissible in the source of his earnings that is having the effect of him being unable to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that you will find that there is a person that is disheveled, he's full of dust, and he raises his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, he's making dua. But وَمَطْعَمُهُ haram, his food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothing is haram, he has been nourished with haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the question, how is it possible for the du'as of this individual to be accepted in this condition? Meaning that he has earned haram, and he is feeding himself, he is clothing himself, he is nourishing himself with this haram. How can he expect his du'as to be accepted? Now respected friends and elders, we have to introspect. This month of Ramadan is a month of du'a. The doors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness are wide open in this month. And we spend our time begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we have tainted earnings, then how can we expect our du'as to be accepted? There's another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wherein he mentions that the feet of the son of Adam will not move on the day of Qiyamah until he is asked about five things. The feet of the son of Adam will not move on the day of Qiyamah until he is asked about five things. He will be asked about his life and how he spent it. The knowledge that he was given and how he acted upon it. And then very importantly, وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَ Regarding his wealth, where did he earn it from? How did he earn it? And where did he spend it? And finally, his body and how he spent his life with his body. So five things, two of them, 40%, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be questioning us with regards to our earning and our spending. So in conclusion, respected friends and elders, the objective of fasting is for us to attain taqwa. Very clear, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So that you may attain taqwa. It's a training ground for us that during these days of Ramadan, we need to ponder and we need to reflect. We are staying away from that which is permissible. Why? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking us to stay away from food, from drink, from permissible conjugal relations, from sunrise to sunset? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not achieve anything by us remaining hungry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not achieve anything by us remaining thirsty. But it is a spiritual training ground for you and I. For 30 days, through the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would not break our fast. And our Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi would often cite that example, that tell a fasting person, no matter how weak his iman is, that a few minutes before iftar, nobody's watching, break your fast early. That person will refuse. Even the person with the weakest iman will say, how can I do that? The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to fast all the way till sunset. Even if it's a few minutes, I will not break my fast. That same Allah that is commanding us to stay away from that which is permissible is also commanding us to stay away from fraudulent transactions. That same Allah is commanding us to stay away from lying, from cheating, from deceiving, from engaging in interest-bearing transactions. Under the commentary of this verse, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not eat one another's wealth unlawfully. Ulama have included in here all those forms of haram earning, including interest, including gambling, including bribery. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram. These are things that negatively affect the community. These are things that result in the concentration of wealth amongst a select few. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram. Unfortunately, in our community and in the world at large, Muslims are questioning today. As they question in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَا. What's the difference? Trade and interest, it's the same thing. There's no difference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made trade halal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made interest haram. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obliterates riba. وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. But on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes an increase in barakah when a person gives out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should have this concern in our hearts that when we are making dua, and we should ask ourselves that the Muslim community is going through so many difficulties. We are making dua, so many people are making dua. Why is it that sometimes our duas are not being accepted? One of the reasons, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ. His food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothing is haram. And then, respected friends and elders, what is the break that would help us to bring the reality of following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our business transactions? What is that break that helps us to bring the reality of this into our lives? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the different impermissible transactions, particularly interest, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides the antidote. And what is that antidote? وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Fear that day when you will be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, we need to bring the reality of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of us when we see that enticing business transaction that is being presented to us, where perhaps we can buy some B-root goods and we can make a few extra bucks. Or we can deceive our customer and hide the defects in our products and we can make a few extra rands and cents. At that time in front of us, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. That we have to fear standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ. Then every soul will be recompensed in full for what it has earned. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And nobody will be oppressed on that day. Respected friends and elders, it is unfortunate that even amongst Muslims, we find corruption. We find the lack of amanatdari. We find the lack of trustworthiness. We find that today, people are afraid to do business with fellow Muslims. When they have a deal that's presented by a non-Muslim and a Muslim, they are saying that they have to think twice about dealing with the Muslim because of the reputation that so many Muslims have earned as a result of the dishonesty. People do not know where to invest their funds because so many investment schemes run by Muslims have gone under as a result of fraudulent transactions. Why is this the case? Our Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to mention that as people of deen, people that are wearing the sunnah libas, people that are in the front row of the masjid, people that are attached to some work of deen, makatib, madaris, tabligh, etc. We should be at the forefront of honesty, at the forefront of integrity. It is like that person that is advertising that he's selling, this is Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ali's example, he's selling vegetables, tomatoes and potatoes, and he has a big board advertising that this is what I've got for sale. But when a person comes to buy, he finds that in those crates, there are only rotten tomatoes, there are only rotten potatoes. In the same way, outwardly, we have the garb of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have the garb of sunnah, the garb that shows a person that this individual is supposed to be honest, he's supposed to be upright. Yet, internally, we find that our transactions are full of dishonesty. Our transactions are full of a lack of integrity, a lack of amanatdari. My respected friends and elders, this is something for us to ponder upon. Each one should look into our own lives. Each one should reflect during this blessed month of Ramadan that part of adopting taqwa, part of adopting Allah consciousness is that we need to make sure that our earnings are 100% halal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to understand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of us with halal rizq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in our rizq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity to take the maximum out of the month of Ramadan. We'll conclude with this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was made in the beginning of Ramadan, but we can continue to make it. Allahumma sallimni li Ramadan. O Allah, keep me safe for the month of Ramadan. What does this mean? Let me reach this blessed month of Ramadan. وَسَلِّمْ رَمَضَانَ لِي. And keep Ramadan safe and preserve it for me. What does this mean? Give me the tawfiq to take maximum benefit from this month of Ramadan. Ramadan can come, Ramadan can go. We will be here, but we do not get the tawfiq to maximize in this month of Ramadan. وَسَلِّمْ رَمَضَانَ لِي. وَسَلِّمْهُ لِي مُتَقَبَّلًا. And finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is asking for acceptance for our actions, because we can do all the actions, but if they are not accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be of no avail. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.